Thank you, Joe. I apologize in advance. I've been battling the flu. So to the next speaker that gets to speak into this microphone, you're welcome. So what I want to do today is talk to you just a little bit about sustainability. And I know that that can be an infuriating word for many of us in this room because we have a lot of people that run around and talk about sustainability and, frankly, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. And they vilify agriculture in the process, okay? So I'd like to just kind of give you an update on what's actually going on in the U.S. beef industry when it comes to sustainability. Maybe not. We hooked up. Oh, here we go. Okay, so sustainability. It's one of these issues that is defined differently by a lot of different people. If you go online and you just look at some... Where am I pointing? Yep. If you go online and you look at some of the definitions of sustainability, I think it'll give you some guidance. So one definition, able to be used... without being completely used up or destroyed, involving methods that do not completely use up or destroy natural resources, able to last or continue for a long time, the capacity to endure. What kind of resonates throughout all these definitions is this sense of natural resource preservation, right? A very environmentally focused view of sustainability. That's not all sustainability is, though. Sustainability involves economics. So, yes, it involves your profitability of your operation, the ability to pass that operation to the next generation, the ability to attract young people into U.S. agriculture and continue to consider it a viable business, right? It also deals with social dynamics, right? How we treat the workers in our workforce, the ability to attract a living wage, and the impacts that we have on the communities in which we live and work. Right? If many of these businesses weren't in these rural communities, there might not be rural communities. All of this is a part of sustainability. But at its core, it means doing more with less. Okay? Doing better today than you did yesterday, so you have the opportunity to improve tomorrow. The opportunity to improve tomorrow. Okay? This isn't socialist China. We don't believe in guaranteed outcomes. We believe in opportunities. This is what sustainability is all about, doing more with less. So how do we get to this point to where sustainability became a great topic of conversation? Well, these brilliant Europeans decided that they were going to look at the carbon footprint impact of livestock, and they came out with this report in 2007 called Livestock's Long Shadow. And they basically said that beef cattle in particular were responsible for all the ills of society, dissolution of the family union, the proliferation of gay marriage, cancer, and everything else. And then they went through very systematically and they talked about how eating a piece of steak is like driving your SUV 80 miles, right? And all of a sudden, beef was under attack globally. And if you look at our global challenge, it's pretty simple. Number one, there's too many damn people and they're consuming too much, right? And it's very easy for people who have nice salaries and 2.5 cars and a summer home in Miami to complain about what's going on in farming. But I think it's important to realize that when you look at most folks in agriculture, they probably, you know, got a couple pair of jeans and one cowboy hat and a pickup truck, and they are not over-consuming. And, in fact, they're producing something that benefits the rest of the world. Yet the overconsumers in urban populations think it's best to parachute down onto farmland and tell them that because of the natural biological process of the animal, because they're belching and farting out on the field, that they're destroying the planet, right? So it's a very difficult challenge that we have before us when it comes to sustainability. We also have the challenge of consumers, okay? This is Norman Rockwell's 1948 The County Agent. I like to show this picture because I think it demonstrates the challenge for many of us in modern agriculture. Because the consumer sees this, and They really like it. They see the red and white barn. They see the county agent there with the brown and white. You got cats and dogs living together. You got the little girl with the 4-H folder underneath her arm, and she's got her jeans pegged like I used to do in the 80s. You got free-range chicken running around spreading salmonella and avian influenza. There's no black people. There's no Hispanics. Right? It's this 1940s pre-World War II idyllic notion of agriculture. Right? You've got Grant Wood's American Gothic with the stoic family farmer and his poor wife who might not make it to see the morning. You have these rolling hills, the red and white barn, the horse-drawn carriage, the black and whites out free-ranging. These idyllic notions of agriculture that are truly disconnected from the modern agricultural system, which allows us to feed 7 billion people on the planet. And people lose sight of this, particularly wealthy people. And then many companies love to market this type of idyllic agriculture to consumers. I've even seen bags of dog food with, you know, red and white barns and these rolling hills so you can feed your dog all natural food, which sounds really sustainable. Then you have niche agriculture being confused as sustainability in the consumer's eyes. Now, there's nothing wrong with organic. For those of you out in the room who are selling organic products and have convinced consumers that they should pay more for a product that has no discernible difference from what the rest of us are doing, congratulations. I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, I'm a capitalist. I think that's great. If you can get money for it, Godspeed. But consumers are equating these niche systems with sustainability. And sustainability really has nothing to do with a system. It has to do with outcomes, okay? Always hear about grass-fed, taste the grass-fed difference. I have. It's delicious. And then you have activists out there who are always attacking the cattle industry. I apologize for the vulgarity of this. I didn't make this up, though. I threw a party, but the cattlemen couldn't come because eating meat causes impotence. This is the type of rhetoric that's out there when it comes to meat. We become very popular to attack. You can't be a meat-eating environmentalist. Every farmer and rancher I've ever met in my life has been an environmentalist. And then taking meat off your plate can cut your carbon footprint in half, but then I wouldn't be interested in your plate. So one of the challenges that we truly have in America is that out of the 380 or 318 million plus of us, only 1% of us are involved in farming, and less than 2% of us live on farms. So 2% of us are feeding the 98%. And particularly in a wealthy economy like America or in the EU, where people are spending not much of their disposable income on food, they have wonderful things that they get to obsess and worry about. Okay? When you have a full stomach, there are all these certain things you get to worry about. You have the luxury to worry about them. When you're hungry, you got one thing to worry about. Okay? And we are altering this sustainability debate into these niche systems, taking out antibiotics, taking out hormones, making sure that all the cattle are petted and bottle fed until JBS knocks them in the head and puts them in a box, that we're losing sight of the ultimate sustainability challenge before us, which is how do we feed this growing global population. And then the retailer has a brand new paradigm that they have to deal with. Okay? And these are my brothers and sisters that I sell product to, and I love selling product to them, but they're not always the most rational of actors when it comes to this sustainability space. You see many of them falling over themselves to make new claims in the marketplace to maintain market share. But their new paradigm is that if it's sold in their stores, they're responsible for all the impacts along the supply chain. Okay? That includes the row crops used to feed the cattle, how the cattle are treated from an animal welfare perspective, how I knock them in the head, how it's distributed to consumers. Everything falls under the responsibility of that retailer. Why? Because the modern consumer, again, 98% of them, have no idea what real agriculture looks like, and their only interaction with food is at a restaurant or a grocery store. Okay? They have no idea that we have these 750,000 cow-calf producers or these 70,000 feedlots or these packers or this very disaggregated market that gets them their food at a cheap price each and every single day on any corner of American street they'd like to go to, right? So the retailer is ultimately held responsible, and they are now pivoting, asking for more information for those of us responsible for raising, feeding, and slaughtering that cattle with more information so that they can communicate that to consumers. And now we have groups like Consumer Reports, who are very good at ranking cars and now want to rank meat, equating sustainability with food safety. So they came out with a study that said organic, natural, hormone-free cattle, the beef from those animals, is safer than conventional beef. Now, I have no idea where they came up with that, but they're now espousing this into the marketplace, and people are believing them. So certainly I believe in providing consumers options, providing them choices, particularly getting them to spend more for products if they'd like to. It's great. But we are altering this debate on sustainability in a way that's not healthy for 95% of what we do in American agriculture. So perspective matters when it comes to sustainability. This is my favorite quote from Frank Sinatra. He says, "I feel sorry for people who don't drink, because when they wake up in the morning, that's as good as they're going to feel all day." And the point of that is that when you look at sustainability, your bias will determine what sustainability means. If you're some environmentalist NGO, all sustainability means to you is greenhouse gas emissions, water runoff, all the environmental challenges. If, God forbid, you're like me and you're in a business, sustainability means, am I going to have a business tomorrow? Can I make a profit? Can I pay my workforce? You know, I'm involved in a company that hires a lot of first-generation immigrant labor, always has, whether it's Irish, Mexican, Sudanese, or whatever. And those people come in to improve their quality of life and hopefully send their kids to school so they don't have to work in a meatpacking plant one day, right? All of that, to me, is sustainability, the impact that I have on that local community. And, by the way, I'm feeding people, right? I kind of think that's important, and that's a sustainability issue. So sustainability is difficult and encompasses a whole lot, but perspective truly matters. For example, this brother's not buying it. You have a lot of people who will say, let's do meatless Mondays, let's stop meat consumption, let's change consumption patterns, and we will change the world. These are generally well-fed Americans and Europeans who espouse these notions. You don't hear a lot of that from Africa, India, China, or Brazil. I wonder why. So if you look at the real sustainability story, NCBA did a great study through the Beef Checkoff looking at our environmental impact in beef over the last, I think, 6 or 7 years from 2005 to 2011. And if you look at all these key environmental categories that consumers say they care about, we've made tremendous reductions, okay? And this isn't organic, grass-fed, specially bottle-fed. This is just big, nasty-ass, traditional cattle production, right? And this is, we're doing sustainability, right? But if you were to listen to the news media, you'd think that we're just destroying the planet Earth. But the truth is, just out of a manner of trying to become more efficient, trying to do more with less, trying to make a profit along the way, if the futures market wouldn't get in the way, we're doing all the things that people are asking of us in sustainability, but that story never gets out there. And then you often hear that we should be more like Europe, or we should be more like Brazil, or we should be more like someone else, and we shouldn't be feeding these cattle in feedlots. Anybody know how large the Brazilian cattle herd is? It's about 200 million head. How big is our herd? About 89, 91 million head. And we produce the same amount of beef, the same amount of beef. You are part of the most efficient beef production system in the history of mankind. And rather than being applauded and lauded for it, you're attacked for it. Okay? But if we keep in mind the true goal of sustainability, we'll understand that we're actually doing all that we can to meet this challenge. So I like to simplify the definition of sustainability for people. It's responsibly meeting the needs of the present while improving the ability of future generations to responsibly meet their own needs. It's about doing more with less. It's not about a system. It's not just grass-fed. It's not just conventional. It's not just organic. It's about outcomes, okay? It's about doing better today than you did yesterday so you have the opportunity to improve tomorrow. It's all about continuous improvement. Now, you'll often hear speakers come up and talk about sustainability, and all they talk about is environmental issues, okay? That speaker's not talking about sustainability. Sustainability is a balance between the social, the economic, and the environmental. Okay? You can't invest a whole bunch of money in your ranch to improve biodiversity or create riparian strips or whatever it might be and run your operation out of business. That wouldn't make sense. Okay? If it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. It's not sustainable. Sustainability does involve economics. It does involve your social impact in the community. And yes, it does involve your environmental impact. So why is this such a huge issue? Number one is because we have a growing planet, a growing, hungry, consuming planet. Okay, we know that by 2050, we're going to have over 9 billion people on the planet. We have about 7 billion people today. Okay, those people are going to be hungry and they're going to want food. What's really startling about this population growth is you're going to have tremendous growth in the middle class. 3 billion new people in the middle class globally. Okay, now that's not America and Europe. These are developed countries. This is brown and yellow people, right? In Asia, Africa, India, Latin America. These people are going to be entering the middle class. And when you take a poor person and you improve their income, what's the first thing that they do? They improve their diet. More milk, more eggs, more protein, more beef. So you're going to have 3 billion new mouths to feed, and they're going to want the products that we produce, right? And 80% of our consumers are outside of America, okay? So we're going to be the people to feed them, okay? But the challenge is it's estimated that we're currently using a planet and a half of our available resources. We're going to need 70% more food to feed people. And that's going to take 3 planet Earths. And we don't have 3 planets. No one's cultivating the moon. So we have to do more with less if we have any chance of meeting this challenge. Now, viewed through that rubric, when you hear a lot of this noise about cage-free, gestation stall-free, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, all these other kind of bells and whistles, through this lens, it almost looks immoral. Because we ought to be all getting together thinking about how do we produce more efficiently, safely, and environmentally circumspect so that we can feed all these people. And we know that climate change and agriculture are, climate change is having an incredible impact on agriculture. I'm not saying that we agriculturalists are the cause of climate change. I'm saying it's impacting us. Right, we know that agriculture consumes a lot of water, right? It's just the nature of our business. I use a lot of water for food safety in my plants. I think consumers thank me for that, right? But we use a lot of water, so we have to be thinking about how do we become as efficient as possible to meet this challenge. So how do we meet this challenge? Here's one suggestion. And unless you're willing to volunteer for this effort, we're going to have to come up with another way, okay? Now, not far from here in Inverness in 2010, we had this big global conference on sustainable beef, right? And you had NGOs, you had academicians, you had corporate types, you had all sorts of folks who all came into the room to talk about what does sustainable beef mean, okay? About 50% of them didn't have any idea what the hell they were talking about. 20% of them were sort of in the business, and then the other 30% were kind of watchers, right? But one of the big problems with this conference was this was missing. Weren't a lot of cowboy hats in the room, right? And this is the challenge with a lot of these sustainability issues. You have a lot of people talking about it that aren't putting anything in the ground. They're not dropping any calves in the spring. They're not raising anything. But they're experts on sustainability, right? And they create these demands and dictates on the rest of us. So we decided to form a roundtable. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the roundtable concept, it was started in Europe. And they thought that if they could get big multinational companies to adopt their standard, they would basically change the world. It's socialism at its finest. And they thought that they would improve the lives of these poor farmers all around the world. And so what resulted from that is a lot of eco-labels and a lot of marketing schemes, right? I think there's 168 different sorts of eco-labels just for ag products alone, okay? Now, I don't know if consumers really, this really helps them. I don't know if it makes them feel better than their neighbors, but people gravitate towards these type of labels. So when we formed the Sustainable Roundtable, the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, we decided we were going to take a different approach. We weren't going to come up with some eco-standard or some eco-label. We were going to try to create a system that empowered people rather than punished people. So if you look at these roundtables for cotton, for soy, for coffee, for all these different agricultural commodities, basically what they do is they come up with this really big standard, and they say, you, Farmer Brown, if you meet this standard, you're sustainable. And if you don't, you're not. Why? Because we told you so, and we know what's best for you. Okay? We didn't want to do that with beef. Number one, because beef can be grown anywhere on the planet, except for maybe Antarctica, and I'm sure they got a herd there too. So you have to allow for people to take flexible approaches to meet this challenge of feeding people, right? But number two, we didn't want to set a standard that picked winners and losers. We wanted to rather set kind of a floor of what sustainability meant and then empower people in whatever region in the world they might be in to go about meeting that standard in a way that benefited them, their community, their neighbors, and the people that they're working hard to feed every day. So we always ask ourselves, what are we creating, right? If we were right down the road in Fort Collins, I probably couldn't put this slide up because it would offend a lot of people. But I don't believe that sustainability should be a competitive niche for hairy hipsters, right? For people who wear turquoise scarves and man purses. I think it's great that they eat beef, and I want to feed them as well, but I'm not trying to create a sustainable beef system just for those people. I'm trying to create something pre-competitive that benefits the entire world, okay? I'm not all that concerned with wealthy people. Wealthy people will be just fine. Challenge is, how do we feed the rest of the population, okay? And we're continually going down this road where we're eliminating technologies, we're eliminating production efficiencies, we're eliminating practices that actually allow us to do more with less and feed people, all in the sake of marketing, okay? And it's a mistake. If you're in the room doing it, stop. So the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, it's a roundtable approach. That's why I have that round feed bunk. Everybody has equal billing at the table, okay? I was the president of it for about 3 years. And it's got NGOs and producers and drug dealers and pharmaceutical companies and anyone you can think about is at this round table, right? So for me, most days felt like this, because it is the ultimate exercise in herding cats, okay? But what was different about the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef was we started our round table with producers, okay? Most of those other round tables you saw, they started with big multinational companies, Nestle, P&G, you name it, Unilever, ADM, these big agricultural companies that could basically dictate terms and then turn them over to producers and say, for the continued pleasure of doing business with me, thou shalt do the following, and thou shalt not receive a premium, okay? We didn't want that model, okay? So we started with producers and built from there. So our mission is to advance continuous improvement in the sustainability of the global beef value chain through leadership, science, and multi-stakeholder engagement and collaboration. Okay, you don't see Illuminati or New World Order or trying to run the world up there. We're just trying to set the playing field so people, number one, understand what sustainability means, and then number two, have the tools to go after it, okay, and help us meet this challenge. This is our vision. We don't discriminate systems. If you're organic, if you're grass-fed, if you're just in big, nasty, conventional ag, whatever you might be doing, we think you can be sustainable because we think you can improve. We think you can do better today than you were doing yesterday. That's all sustainability is about. It's a journey of continuous improvement. It's not a destination, okay? And here you see our constituency groups. You see a lot of fancy corporate logos there. And we have this triple bottom line approach to sustainability, and this is very important. It's not an environmental program. It's socially responsible, environmentally sound, and economically viable, sustainable beef for all participants along the beef value chain. Yes, that includes McDonald's, but it also includes the guy in Multi Georgia who's got 5 head of cattle, okay? Everyone needs to have these type of sustainable outcomes. It needs to be balanced and science-based and about outcomes, not about prescriptive practices or saying that one system is sustainable and another is not. Because grass-fed may be very sustainable in some systems, but not in others, okay? Same with cattle feeding, same with any type of production practice. The practice in and of itself, the technology in and of itself, is neither good nor evil. It's the outcome that you achieve, okay? So we released this definition for sustainable beef late last year in Brazil and had 96% plus approval rating. That definition is as follows: planet, people, animals, and progress. Sustainable beef is socially responsible, environmentally sound, and economically viable product that prioritizes those four areas: the planet, her people, its animals, and progress. Always improving. Okay? We have five major categories: natural resources, people in the community, animal health and welfare, food, and technology and innovation. A lot of consumers might not like that, and a lot of NGOs didn't like that we had technology and innovation. But we cannot meet this challenge of feeding the world without technology and innovation. You drug dealers in the room, you should be very happy that I'm saying that. But it's true. We are going to need to channel the spirit of George Washington Carver, of Norman Borlaug, if we're going to have any chance of feeding these people. And going back to the way we did agriculture in the 1940s might make some mom in a grocery store aisle feel good about herself, but it ain't going to feed the planet. Okay? We have to get realistic about this sustainability challenge. So we have this broad global definition, and then we send that definition out to the regional roundtables that interpret that in a way that makes sense for their local geography, their local political challenges, their local producer base. So there's a U.S. roundtable for sustainable beef, a Canadian, a Brazilian, a Venezuelan. There's several all around the world. The U.S. roundtable just started in May of this year. When we founded the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, we had 12 founding members. It was just pulling teeth to get people to try to join an organization like that. When the U.S. roundtable formed 3 years later, it had 93 founding members. And a lot of them were state cattle associations. Because producers are tired of being told what sustainability means. They want to sit at the table and help determine their own future for them and their families. And I applaud them for that. The U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef is taking that broad definition and they're coming up with indicators to help verify that what we're doing here in the United States actually produces sustainable outcomes, and that consumers, that our retail customers, that supermarkets can feel confident in the product that we're producing because we're prioritizing these environmental, societal, and economic concerns, and that we believe that we should command a profit while doing so. Okay, so if you're not involved in the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, I strongly urge you to become members. NCBA is running that roundtable, really doing excellent work, really broad, diverse membership across the whole beef value chain. I think they're going to really achieve a lot. So in closing, I want you all to think of sustainability as a pre-competitive issue, a pre-competitive issue. Remember when all we talked about in the beef industry was E. coli and food safety and In-N-Out Burger and all these challenges? You young people might not remember that. But food safety used to be our number one challenge. And when we finally collectively decided that we weren't going to compete with one another on food safety, but that we were going to work collectively because it was such a common challenge that any bad actor could hurt the reputation of our entire industry, that we decided it would be pre-competitive. Sustainability needs to be the same way. And I know a lot of people are out marketing sustainability against one another to say I'm more sustainable or I'm GMO-free or whatever other crazy claim that they make. But that's not going to get us closer to this challenge of feeding the world. Okay, so we believe at the roundtable that all beef should be considered sustainable. All beef, no matter what production system it comes from, pre-competitively. And then if you'd like to make commercial differentiation claims because you're doing more on worker safety or more on this issue, then fine, Godspeed. But don't vilify your neighbor in the process. We vilify our neighbors far too much in agriculture, and we need to stop doing it. Okay? We need to celebrate the diversity of agriculture and promote it in all its myriad of forms. And then food waste. I never talk about sustainability without talking about food waste. Because these consumers who are crying for more sustainable product are wasting one-third of the calories that we produce. And I don't care what you do on your operation to improve sustainability, water quality, air quality, dust mitigation, whatever it might be. If the consumer throws one-third of it away in their kitchen at night, then what are we doing? Okay, there is shared responsibility in this sustainability journey. I know people hate to hear that, but there is shared responsibility. Okay. And young people, you're the worst at this. I see you in the grocery stores and you're filling up your grocery baskets as if, you know, doomsday is coming. Okay? Purchase what you need to consume. Don't waste food. It's a huge sustainability challenge. They said if we stopped wasting these calories, we would meet 50% of the 70% more food that we have to produce by 2050. You'd meet more than half the challenge. And people are wasting really good stuff, which is ridiculous. So we really need to be focused on creating this sustainable meat case for all. Okay, we don't want consumers to have to choose between good, sustainable beef with a pretty label and, you know, nasty, shitty JBS beef that's just produced in the commodity form. All beef should be considered sustainable, okay? If any of you make the mistake when you go home tonight to go to a grocery store and buy a Tyson food product, you will not do so. You will not do so because you think it's safer than mine. You will assume that if it's in the grocery store, it's safe. Consumers need to think this way about sustainability. If it is in the grocery store, it must be sustainable because I know American farmers and ranchers are working hard on these economic, societal, and environmental issues, and I can have confidence that it's good for me, good for my children, good for the planet because it's in that grocery store. This is what we should be aiming for rather than competing against one another. Again, are we creating products for hairy hipsters who can afford this stuff, or are we trying to create something pre-competitive that benefits the entire planet? So again, I personally like hipsters. You know, they wear sweater caps in the summer and eyeglasses with no lenses in them, and they're cool people, right? And I love that they're my customers because they pay more for a lot of the product, right? But they're not my only customer, okay? Because I'm in a company that tries to feed the world, and these people are also my customers, right? And they could be brown, they could be yellow, they could be white. The point is, we need to feed everyone. Right? We need to feed the world. And these people aren't going to benefit from sustainable marketing. They're not going to benefit from a slick advertising campaign that talks about being GMO-free or hormone-free or cage-free or insert technology here, add a hyphen, and then put free at the end of it. That's not going to help them. Okay? And we are tying one arm behind our back when it comes to sustainability as we continue to take technology and production efficiencies out of our agricultural production chain. So it's time for us in agriculture to start standing up, proclaiming what we do, how we do it, why we do it, espouse our values, espouse our passion, share our beliefs with the greater populace so that 98% of the people who consume what the 2% of us are producing every day have confidence in what we do, believe in us, and trust us. Okay? With that, if you want to go to a just horribly done website, I invite you to grsbeef.org. You can find out more about the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. If you want to find out about a big, nasty-ass packer, go to jbssa.com. Thank you for your time.